Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
There are more than 30,000 natural supplements on the market today. Should they be required to undergo drug-like testing by the FDA or be considered unsafe? My guest is Scott Tips. He writes a monthly column for Whole Foods Magazine called Legal Tips. And so we're going to talk about this. Now, Scott, tell us a little bit about what do you see going on in the world right now of vitamins and supplements? Start with the ones that are produced in this country and then move to the ones that are produced all over the world and coming into this country.
Well, we're very lucky, Melanie, because in this country, in America, we have a lot more freedom than elsewhere in the world. I travel worldwide, and I get to see how the supplements are sold elsewhere, what are available, the quality of what's available, and the quantity, that is, the potencies that are available within what they sell. And there are the two freest countries in the world for supplements are the United States and South Africa. That's it. Canada used to be, the UK used to be, but forget it. Not so much anymore because they've been clamping down on it. And we've been very lucky because the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act that was passed in October of 1994, just over 18 years ago, helped take away from the FDA the arbitrary power. You know, this FDA, as your listeners probably know by now, anyone who's, you know, been alive and not hidden under a rock would know, the FDA is very anti-supplement, very pro-pharmaceutical, and they've been doing their best to keep supplements off the market or at least to dumb them down. But Deshaies took away that arbitrary power, and since Deshaies was passed 18 years ago, there's been a huge blossoming of innovation in supplements, new types, 1,000 new types of supplements coming out each and every year. It's been incredible. And because of that now, since Deshaies came into effect, we have about 25,000 new supplements have been out there, and let me add, safely out there, safely used. People haven't died. You're more likely to die from a bee sting, falling off a horse, or a lightning strike than you are from taking a supplement. You're more likely to die from eating food, everyday food, than from taking a supplement. You're more likely to die from taking ibuprofen or an FDA-approved drug than you are from taking a supplement. That's how incredibly safe they are, and it's important for your listeners to realize this is the whole context in which we're talking about the subject of protecting those supplements that your listeners are used to taking and are at risk of being removed from the shelves.
Well, and you mentioned ibuprofen and things, and, you know, Scott, things like OxyContin, you know, go through rigorous testing, and yet, boy, you know, people have a lot of issues with those kinds of medications. Mm-hmm. So they're escalating this sort of war on supplements. What do you want the public to know about this? What can we do about it to still assure that we're safe with things, and yet, because people do want some sort of regulation, Scott, because otherwise, you know, it could be anarchy, and we don't know what people can put into stuff.
Well,
you know?
That's an excellent point, Melanie, and I want to emphasize that what Deshaies didn't do, although mainstream media, and thank God we have media like yours, programs like yours Staying Well, because the mainstream media would have you believe that there's no regulation of supplements. But in fact, Deshaies, that law that I mentioned to you before that was passed 18 years ago, it never took away the regulatory powers of the FDA. If there's a bad actor out there in the marketplace, if they're selling shoddy products out there, the FDA has the right to go in and stop them, and in some cases apply criminal sanctions against them. That never changed. All it took away was the arbitrary power to decide they didn't like the way your hair was parted, so boy, your supplements are coming off the marketplace. No, the FDA has to follow the law just like anyone else, and in doing so, it kept good supplements on the marketplace, but never took away the FDA's regulatory powers. So that's there, and it always will be. But your question was, what can we do to really what's out there is a threat? And the threat really is the FDA has decided in its infinite wisdom, again, with its anti-supplement mentality, to enact a policy that all these supplements came on the market after DSHEA was passed in 1994, are what are known as new dietary ingredients, things that you and I take for, you know, common stance now, like coenzyme Q10, GABA. There are all sorts of new variations on a theme for certain minerals, like instead of just magnesium oxide, now there's magnesium glycinate. Well, that form of magnesium is considered a new dietary ingredient. Under DSHEA, all they had to do was notify the FDA, and if the FDA didn't object to the introduction into the marketplace, then the manufacturer or distributor could introduce that product, like coenzyme Q10, into the marketplace. And they did that under the law. But what FDA is doing is it's turned in a document that it issued in July a year ago, is turn all of that on its head and require all these manufacturers now to provide drug-like testing of their products, proof that they're safe. So here are products like coenzyme Q10 that's been sold by the millions, and I'm not exaggerating, by the millions since it came out, and yet it would have to undergo drug-like testing to prove to the FDA's satisfaction that it is safe. Well, this is nonsense. These products have been out there in most instances for a decade and a half, almost two decades, and yet the FDA wants to require them to do drug-like testing that will cost, in many instances, up to $1 million per new dietary ingredient. Well, what is this going to do? The companies are going to pass the cost to the consumer, or if they can't afford to do the testing, they're going to remove them from the marketplace. So a lot of these supplements, when you go into a health food store and you see them on the shelf, they're going to disappear because most of those forms are new dietary ingredients. We have a bill, the National Health Federation has a bill in Congress right now in this session, the lame duck session, which is called the Dietary Supplement Protection Act, which is only 5 pages long and very simply moves the date of the dividing line. Those supplements that were in, that were grandfathered in before the passage of DSHEA, and it just moves the date forward up to January 1, 2007 to provide a safe harbor for all these supplements that have been safely sold.
Now, is this a bipartisan bill? I mean, are we looking at one party over another?
No, it's definitely bipartisan. It's something that Democrats and Republicans alike could fall in love with because it's something that really just recognizes the reality, the common sense reality of what the marketplace situation is. You know, and it also favors the poor people and the middle class people who can't afford supplements as easily as, say, someone who has a lot of money. Supplements can get quite expensive. Well, if the FDA's view gets pushed through with its document the way they want, it's going to price a lot of these supplements, not only remove supplements from the marketplace that could help people, but price the ones that remain out of the reach of poor people because they won't be able to afford what's already getting to be somewhat expensive, the supplements that are out there and could prevent them from falling ill in the first place. So, Melanie, it's a really important thing to recognize, one, the reality that these are very safe products, and number two, to take some affirmative action to protect them so that we can keep getting them just the way we've grown used to. And this is not our organization, the National Health Federation, is not a industry organization, it's a consumer organization. So we aren't doing this for the industry, we're doing it for the people who are out there like you and me who want to buy these products and stay healthy.
Okay, so people can go onto what website in just the last 10 seconds, Scott?
Sure, to our website, www.nhf.com. Go to that, click on the government affairs button, go to federal, and there's a rec sample letter, everything, a copy of the bill. You can read it.
Thank you so much. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD.